This is the Four Man Rush.
You know, as somebody who has played the game of football and was a track athlete, personal trainer, I can tell you right now, it is hard to work out when you're not comfortable. And, you know, one area that seemed to always bother me was my balls. Football, basketball was nothing compared to my balls. The chafing and, man, it's just rough. And I really wish, especially now that I've utilized Manscaped's products, that they were around when I was younger. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code 4MRSCAPED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 4MRSCAPED20. It's 2021, folks, and you still got Bush. Change that with Manscaped. Hello, Panther fans, and welcome to another podcast of the Four Man Rush. I'm your host, Timmy VO, and we're talking about the Steelers game from the other night, and we're going to talk about, of course, the roster moves, and we'll talk about some other stuff outside the Panther organization as well. So, hey, welcome as usual to the podcast of the Four Man Rush, and we're going to talk about some Panther football. And we're having a guest host. What's up, Steven? We're having a guest host from another podcast from the Pigskin Podcast Network that we're a part of, from the Steelers organization, the Steel City Blitz. I believe his name is Mark, and he's going to join us tonight, man. So stay tuned. They're going to talk about what happened on, what was that, Saturday. Yeah. I hope he don't get too mad at us. But welcome, everybody. Facebook, Twitter Live, recording of the Four Man Rush Podcast, brought to you by One Man Skate. And yeah, if you're not taking care of your crown jewels, gentlemen, you might want to get on that right there, man. Give me a second, I'll throw up the website and all that good stuff for you. What's up, Steven, man? I hope you're doing all right, man. Yeah, this roster is shaping out, and we're getting some understanding of what's going to be going on week one against the Jets. So it's going to be interesting. For sure. No, I sent the link out to the fellas. Kevin said he'll be on about 9:15. He's coming back from his JOB and all that good stuff, man. But we're gonna talk about, you know, this past game with the Steelers, the preseason game with the Steelers, where we had a good look. And yeah, man. Yeah, what's up? What's up, Jana? Hey, yeah, love the moves. Hey, we're making some good moves on this roster, man. It's interesting. It's interesting. It really is. There's some surprises. Let some people go on defense. The people like, oh shit, really? And you know, offense too. I wish Bonifant wasn't as hurt as he always is. Apparently, maybe he'll stick around. But Chubba came in here and showed his ass. So we got some young worker bees behind CMC. So that's a good thing. You know, so it's all good, man. It's all good. But yeah, the 53 man is shaping out. We're gonna talk about that in detail, of course. Man, we're going to talk about the Steelers game and all that good stuff, man. The offense was clicking, and that especially that 2-minute drill towards the end of the first half, it looked pretty good. It looked pretty good. Jen is asking, and I'm reading the question because, you know, we're recording the podcast too. Do you think only two quarterbacks will hurt in the long run? I don't think so. I don't think so. Obviously, it's dangerous to, you know, to play with only two, but I don't think so. I don't think it will hurt us. It's going to be interesting to manage, especially if Sam Darnold's not playing well. But hey, I think we could deal with it. If our offensive line is not too hampered with, you know, injuries and foul play, I think it'll be all right. I've seen enough from PJ and, you know, to have a little faith in them. But, you know, again, as I've always said, it comes down to CMC. If we can run the football, then we're not going to have to worry about our number two quarterback. So, hey, Jelani, How you doing? But yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I was kind of surprised they let Will Greer go a little bit, but man, I'm not too worried about it. I think it'll be all right. Our running back situations is I'm more concerned about that. Very dangerous. Jelani types, very dangerous, especially for us considering Cobb and Adams are emergency backups. Yeah. 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 The Packers situation now. So that's a whole nother jewel now, isn't it? Travis, what's up? What do I think about, Marshall? I think he's going to show out. Yeah. He's already showed his ass. Oh man. Led the team in, receiving yards in the preseason, man. He's bigger than people think he is too. That's the thing. He's sneaky like that. I think he can be a red zone weapon too. If Joe Brady utilizes him correctly. But Marshall, he's a pleasant surprise. And I hate that that Smith went down. Shy Smith, I hate that he went down, man. But you know, it's an opportunity for Marshall to do his thing. So. You know, and we're pretty deep at the tight end position too, so that's going to be interesting. It really is. It really is. Charles writes, still not happy with PJ. I hope we go bring in a vet for quarterback backup. Yeah. Jadarius is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
What you know, good family?
Man, you know it. Yeah, no, we got a squad and we got to roll up and we're going with.
Yeah, we got some dogs.
Okay, man.
We got some dogs for sure.
Some surprises and some like, yeah, okay. No. I get that.
Look, man. He said he not happy with PJ.
Yeah. He says he's hoping he brings in a veteran quarterback.
I seen a name floating around, Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco, yeah. Really?
That's what I seen floating around the timeline on Twitter. I don't know how much reality it got to it, but yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Interesting. Interesting. Behind the offensive line, I don't think we need a statue quarterback.
I agree with you.
I don't know. But that's just me. I mentioned on Twitter, I wouldn't mind bringing Cam back in here for one simple reason. That would push the envelope in terms of the quarterback room. Because if you trust me, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the coaching staff and you know the front office if Cam came back here from the fan base to get him on the field. So I mean if Sam Darnold shows his ass, then he shows his ass. Cam can move on. But I just think that'd be an interesting dynamic. But yeah, but that locker room situation would be a little funny too though, you know. But you know. Anyway. Oh man. Oh my man. Luke Cage says, hell no to Flacco. Oh, man. Let's see. I sent out the invite to our man here. We're being joined by Mark from the Steel City Blitz podcast for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He should be joining us pretty soon. Ask him if he got the link or not. So, I mean, a lot of people aren't surprised by the 53, you know, like Bill mentioned. I'm not too surprised myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Let's play ball, man. You know, it's like, can we get to the New York game, please? Jesus Christ. Why are they dead set on making Ricky a fullback? Versatility, I guess they want somebody who's a solid threat out of the backfield in terms of catching the football and, you know, doing something with it. I guess from a physicality standpoint, he's how tall is he? He's like 6'5", man. He's 6'4".
Yeah, he sized like an actual tight end.
Yeah, so that's something that we didn't get from Armour. Armour wasn't a tall dude. You know, he wasn't going to give you that mismatch in the middle of the field. So I guess that's why they're trying to do that.
That's not just having
versatility.
Yeah, that's not a bad point. I didn't even think about the catching out the backfield part of it. But I can make it real simple for you on the other part. Ain't no other tight end on this roster that aggressive and that physical.
Right, right. Will Harris, ladies and gentlemen.
What's everybody doing tonight?
Yeah, man.
What up, big dog?
What's up, man?
Oh, we talking about Cam already, you know. No, of course we don't need him. Of course we don't need him, but, you know. It is what it is. You know, I mean, he can still play the game, apparently. So, I don't know. I'm not a homer. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Cam Newton, you know, forever lifer fan. But I mean, you can't dismiss his ability to make plays, bro. It is what it is. But you know, from a locker room standpoint, I think that'll be it'll be a headache to deal with, I'm sure. But I mean, just from a football standpoint, I mean, what do you think, Will?
Just you know, what I mean, I think there's a couple things going on with that. One, I mean, they drafted a kid at 15. I mean, if you draft a guy in the top 15, that's your franchise quarterback when he's ready. I mean, it's his job to lose. You're basically at that point just a bridge until the kid proves that he can handle it, handle the pressure, handle starting right away, and he makes your team better. So, you know, Cam comes in as a starter, as he should have, because you don't want to hand a rookie the job. He has to go out and earn it. Right. So, I mean, I think it was kind of neck and neck for a few weeks. You know, they were starting to rotate reps, and all of a sudden Cam has this issue with COVID again. And if you go back to last year, he caught COVID, had to miss a game. They lost a game they should have. It shouldn't have, I mean. And he played terribly after that, had one of his worst seasons passing. So now again, now he comes back. You know, he's on track, playing well. Looks like his shoulder is back, and he's throwing the ball with a little bit more steam on it again. And he leaves the facility and has to miss a week of practice. So Bill Belichick has a low tolerance for stuff like that. How much more is he going to take of these distractions? Now he's got to deal with the media asking him 100 questions about it, this and that. And I think you can see his tone change, because when Cam went out, it was against the joint practices against the New York Giants. And Matt Jones, all of a sudden, the kid got the first team reps. I mean, he balled. He completed 35 out of 40 passes. They had several touchdown drives. The second day, I think he was like 10 out of 19, but like five drops. And even with those drops, he led a touchdown on every drive in the joint practices. And then I just think Sunday's game, I mean, Matt Jones was phenomenal. I just think that sealed it. I mean, he made every throw. He played with the ones, was against the ones or the twos, fit the ball in the tight windows. I think he allows them to run the offense that they want. And he doesn't have that distraction of COVID. I mean, if Cam, I mean, I don't want to make this into a vaccination debate, but if, you know, if he's not vaccinated, what's next? He's going to have to miss more practice time by potentially catching COVID again and presents another distraction. So I just think the combination of the issues with COVID, the vaccination, missing practice time, and Mac Jones going in and taking the position from him just led to him being released today.
Yeah. That's a great points, man. Great points. Yeah. It is what it is. I mean, you can't say Jones ain't balling right now, bro. I mean, the kid can play.
He was the best rookie quarterback in preseason.
That's true.
Real talk. I mean, what do you think, Jay? How you feel about it?
I feel like it was going to be hard to deny Mac Jones from the simple fact that he was a perfect scheme fit for Bill Belichick. From the simple fact that he came out guns blazing. Right away doing stuff he did in Alabama. And I figured it wouldn't take him just a preseason to render Cam Newton either a lateral move or unnecessary. I figured it would take him longer than three or four games to come into his own and have full control. But it was always going to be a matter of time.
Fact. And I agree with that. It could have been 3-4 games, but I think COVID accelerated that process. And I just said, you know, let's just do it now because we just don't need this distraction anymore with him missing practice. Right. But I think, you know, I think so much about quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence was a generational talent. But come on, he went to a 1-15 team. I mean, how successful? And how long before we see him be successful? You know, right. Matt Jones and Trey Lance. Now, they went to a good playoff caliber team. So I think their development curve is probably going to be much faster than that with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and Justin Fields. I mean, the Bears are so erratic. Who knows what they're going to be? But possibly him, too. He might be going into a great situation himself.
Good point.
Jags going to be trash, bro.
Who?
The Jaguars.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Bless
you, man. All that tanking.
I mean, bro.
That's amazing.
Should have pulled an Eli.
I'm saying.
I'm not going to Jacksonville. I wonder if he could have pulled that off, though.
Probably had the clout to do it.
Yeah, I think he could.
And Fields or Lance would have went.
Zach Wilson would have went.
Right. Be there 5 years and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Bless his heart. West Virginia Flash is available. Will he get picked up?
What's we talking about?
Flash.
We're talking about
Will Greer.
Oh yeah, yeah, must be. Yeah, somebody pick him up.
I was about to say Tavon Austin got cut. No, I didn't think he got cut.
I thought Will Greer had a better preseason than PJ Walker. But you have to remember, it's probably 75% practices, which we don't see, and 25% preseason. So maybe there's just something PJ showed in practice that Will didn't have. And I just think when it's close like that, you just go with the more explosive athlete, you know, explosive thrower. If your backup quarterback's in there, it's not like you're going to be throwing for 400 yards. So at least PJ can make plays with his feet should a play break down. Exactly. And he's Matt Rule's guy. So if you want to be out the coach's son, you got to go above and beyond.
Look, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. My boy went in his wallet, pulled out his old Temple school ID, slammed it on the table. Slammed it on the table. It was like, coach, I'm Temple tough, though.
Right.
All right. Hey, I have to get to Matt Rule. He's consistent when it comes to that. We'll talk about that more in a minute. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mark from the Steel City Blitz podcast. What's good, Mark?
Well, preseason's over. That's what's good. I mean, it's like that thing you just have to go through in order to get to something better. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you guys know that. Just talking personnel and what the teams are doing and everything else. But yeah, I'm ready for the regular season, big time.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Mark, here you have Will Harris, part of Four Man Rush, of course. Film breakdown extraordinaire, I might have to say. And Jadarius here. He also has his Twitter handle's the Panthers Den, I believe, right, bro?
That's correct. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Yeah, man.
Well, good.
Doing well.
Awesome.
Doing good.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. I hate that you had to come on after that showing on Saturday, you know.
Yeah, that was especially after our first three games were, you know, they win, what? Loss, I don't care, but we looked halfway decent. I mean, it was just ugly. I mean, from the beginning, Dwayne Haskins did not look good. Nobody looked good. Our offensive line is an absolute mess right now. So I was glad when that game ended, believe me.
Oh, man. So I guess, Mark, we'll talk briefly about what you saw, I guess, from a more technical standpoint, from the preseason game, and I guess what you expect going forward with the Steelers.
Well, I mean, against you guys, I just saw an ass kicking. I mean, I saw a team that, you know, Coach Rule was pretty adamant that he was going to play his starters, offense and defense. Coach Tomlin went in the complete opposite direction and said, we're going to start very few starters. Some of our guys aren't dressing. Some of our guys aren't even making the trip. And, you know, and there is a drop off in the NFL between first team, second team, third team. We all know that. But I was just troubled by our lack of urgency. I mean, for so many guys fighting for roster spots, maybe even practice squad spots, it just looked like we had zero interest in being there. And that's really unusual for a Mike Tomlin team. You know, as far as you guys, I mean, I thought Sam Darnold looked good. That's as good as I've seen him look in a while, to be honest. We put a little bit of pressure on him. He did a good job in the pocket, and we're going to face more mobile guys than he is. So we've got to do a better job there. There's no doubt about it. And then, you know, I thought your defense looked pretty solid too. Your secondary was really, really good. I thought it's our offensive line. It's an absolute mess. I never dreamed in 40, 50 years that the Steelers offensive line would look this way, but wow, here we are. That's where things are heading into the regular season.
Isn't that something? Yeah, most folks who've watched the Steelers, you know, over the years, it's always been some nosebleed.
Yeah,
you know, distributors up front for you guys, man. And it's kind of like the woes that we're having right now, man. We don't have that stout punch them in the mouth kind of game like we used to. You know, it's more like, you know, bubble screens, flashy kind of stuff. Will mentioned last podcast, what was it, the pretty boy bullshit that man, we don't just move people off the line of scrimmage anymore, man. We just, you know, doing this flashy stuff. I guess, are you guys dealing with that too?
Well, you know, we've changed offensive coordinators, and now we're dealing with Matt Canada, and you know, Matt Canada has been, I swear, the guy has coached at every stinking university in America. He's got a good track record. He's there for a couple of years. The offense is top 10 nationally. It does great. And then he either moves on for whatever reason, or the numbers start coming down. People start to catch on to what he's doing. We were really vanilla in the preseason. His offense is all about pre-snap motion, pre-snap resets, and we did very little of that. So I don't think any of us as Steeler fans really know quite what to expect. But in his offense, it's not as much straight ahead smash mouth stuff. It's much more get the defense going the other way kind of stuff. And it's different for Steelers fans. There's no doubt about it.
This is not the Steelers of old, folks.
No. That went out the window years ago, actually. Yeah, but this is definitely a change.
Oh, man. Will, do you want to ask Mark anything? Or?
Yeah, man, this is some positives. What'd you think of your goal line defense? I mean, your Haskins didn't really put your your defense in the best situation, but I mean, they held us to what, 3 points on those first three drives in your own territory, and I think we finally punched one in, I think, on the third series.
I don't know what it is. It's, you know, it really goes back to Cowher and certainly Coach Tomlin. When there is that rapid change in possession, our defenses traditionally, whether it was under Dick LeBeau or now Keith Butler, we do a really good job of forcing teams to do things they don't want to do in the red zone and down by the goal line. And more often than not, we force them into field goals. That's not true every time, obviously. And I don't know what that is in the way that we coach, the way that we prep the players. I know we work heavily on our red zone offense and defense, so it's not totally surprising. But yeah, there was some positives there, and those weren't exactly starting guys. Those were a lot of guys that just today either found out they were tail end on the roster, or maybe are looking at practice squad. So yeah, I don't get me wrong. There's always positives in any game, no matter how bad you win or lose. But that was a decent thing to take from it.
Good point. Good point. Jadarius, if you have anything to ask.
Yeah, today was final cut day. So were there any surprises coming across the cut wire?
Man, you know, we were surprised at a couple things. The Steelers, number one, only kept four cornerbacks. Normally they keep about six. So right off the bat, that tells us they are like shopping right now. They are watching the waiver wire. They are going through it with a fine tooth comb to see what cornerbacks got cut league wide, see who might be available for trade. And then we also cut BJ Finney, who was a guy we picked up in free agency when he was undrafted as a rookie. He had a really nice go here for a couple of years, moved out to Seattle and then Cincinnati and came back. And I think most Steeler fans looked at him as, okay, he's going to plug right back in. He's going to be that number one option to be your swing guard, play some center too. He got cut too. So there's definitely some things going on. And as you guys know, your 53 man roster is never your 53 man roster 48 hours afterwards. It always changes. And we know that. It's just, those were a couple of things that were definitely surprising for us.
Yeah. True. Yeah. We're going to talk about our 53 man here in a minute. It was some surprises, but not a lot. Mark, you want to approach this question here?
Yeah. Big positive fit, Steelers. What are you, man? I am concerned about. Let's see. I'm gonna name this 1, 2, 3. I am concerned about the offensive line,
right?
The offensive line and the offensive line. Okay, and I hate to be cheesy about it, but that's where I'm at.
That's facts.
We have a young man, and it pains me because Chukwuma Okorafor is from my alma mater, Western Michigan University, and he just is struggling at left tackle. Now, this week, he has slid back over to right tackle, which seems to be a little more in his wheelhouse. Now they've got rookie Dan Moore at left tackle, and let me tell you guys, Dan Moore was getting the tar beat out of him at the beginning of OTAs and everything. And I have rarely seen a young man progress the way he has, to the point where he's looking at a possibility of starting as a rookie left tackle for the Steelers. So yeah, it's offensive line all the way. That's my big concern. I would put a slight, thing at nickel cornerback. We got to find somebody there too, but I think those things are going to take care of themselves this week.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was going to say, you sound like a Panthers fan, bro. The offensive line situation, man, we've been talking about that for months. It's a problem.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
It really is.
Our problem was we knew we needed offensive linemen. We knew it. But Najee Harris is sitting there. I mean, do you pass on a guy like that who's a generational talent, perhaps, and he has done nothing in Pittsburgh to change that outlook? He has been awesome. Should we have drafted an O-lineman? I don't know. I mean, ask me in another 6-7 weeks and I'll know for sure. But it's you guys know as well. It's frustrating when you see teams like Tampa Bay and like Cleveland just assemble this awesome talent at offensive line. It's just
it's frustrating. It is frustrating. You got that right, bud. Will, you have anything else to ask Mark? Or?
The only thing I've had was I heard you had a big fight at practice the other day.
What is going on in Pittsburgh, man?
I'm old school, and I believe 100% that fight is a result of the fact that Minkah Fitzpatrick has not been able to hit anybody else in a different uniform. you guys know when you've been practicing against the same guys over and over and over, the slightest little thing is going to set you off. And I'm willing to bet Claypool did something or said something, and that's when it went at it. And I am concerned about this. Not at all. I don't think this is a big deal. This is just guys that need to go play football against somebody else. But I admit it was kind of funny, because we hadn't had any of that. First time we really had it.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, this is Kevin Avery, of course, CEO of the Four Man Rush and all that good stuff, man.
Hey, Kevin.
What up, Mark?
Extraordinaire. Kevin, he said the three major problems with the Pittsburgh Steelers is the offensive line, the offensive line, and the offensive line. Does that sound familiar to you? I'm just throwing it out there.
Cousin Mark. What's up, Cousin Mark?
I see you're feeling the same thing, huh?
Boy. Man, look here. At least you've had a decent left tackle in the last decade.
Well, and he's in Baltimore now, and now I got Ravens fans texting me and tweeting at me saying, hey, you know, he's not as good as we thought he was. So.
Go figure.
I know.
Yeah, man. Like I say, we, you know, we still, you know, instead of going to Nordstrom's, you know, we still shopping at Target. So,
well, I'm telling you, the weird thing too is that our GM Kevin Colbert he's had a good couple of years. He's done a lot of really good things. But if they can't get this line put together, that's going to be a huge cloud over his head. People are going to be wondering, man, why did you not do more to address this? And it would be very fair game.
Yeah, definitely considering the age of Roethlisberger, you know, coming off, you know, the injuries. I mean, you got to protect your best chance, you know, to that's going to lead your offense. You know, and like I said, when have you ever known in the decades? I can't even say in the decades the Steelers not have a power running game. Like,
yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
I mean, yeah. Real talk. Like I'm gonna keep it $100,000 for you. You know, I mean, that's my team number one. But like, you know, if I was to ever cheat, you know, it'd be the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? I mean. You know, because, I mean, it's just because of the history, because I like rugged.
Yeah, man.
I like rugged defense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but y'all, yeah.
Come on, steel curtain. Come on now. Yep. You know, we're going uh-huh. back in the day. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just that overall, like, I like y'all front office just as much as y'all team. I only had three coaches, you know what I'm saying, throughout the tenure of your team. The excuses we make. Mike Tomlin be like, nah, fuck that. I ain't losing since I've been here. You know what I'm saying? You know, we missed one or two players. You know, we say, well, that's why we went 5-11. You know, he had a third string quarterback, four string offensive line, still went 8-8. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the stuff I'm talking about right there.
Well, look, Mike Tomlin is a really, really good football coach. It gets wrapped up a lot of times. Because he uses a lot of cliches. He used something this past week about squirrels squirreling their nuts or something. And if Steeler Nation went nuts, if there's already t-shirts. I mean, it was hilarious. Some of the stuff he comes up with, but the guy just knows how to get things out of players. He just does. And yeah, he's got a real good staff around him. He always has. But he's just a good football coach, and I know Steeler Nation gets fed up with him. Sometimes he screws up clock management, and yeah, he does. I've been the first to say it. But man, if you put him on the market right now, you would probably have 29 teams calling right now.
Oh, well, me too.
You know, and that's the truth. And yeah, 8-8 in a year when you're really using a rookie backup and then a rookie third string quarterback, your defense is banged up and you find a way to get there. And, you know, last year we had, obviously we lost Bud Dupree and the offensive line was really a shell of itself last year. And we still managed to win the division. So it's going to take an awful, awful mess for me to start saying, okay, Mike, time to move on. I mean, and I don't know what that would even look like.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting hole to fill right there, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, man, I appreciate you coming on, bro. I just wanted to do, run things by you real quick and give some information for our fans out here, man. I'm sure they got family and friends that are Steelers fans, I'm sure.
Oh, sure, sure. Hey, we are SteelCityBlitz.com. Follow us on Twitter at SCBlitz. We're on Facebook. Was it Facebook.com? Steel City Blitz, Instagram, all that fun stuff. We do our podcast once a week. In fact, we're going to do ours here in about 15 minutes, as a matter of fact. So I'll have plenty of energy and have enough time to go crack another adult beverage. So, check us out all over there. And, yeah, thanks again for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hey, what was that Twitter handle again, Mark?
At SC Blitz. And then mine's at Steel Dead, which is right there.
Yeah, so I threw it on the screen for you folks. Yeah, man. Mark, I appreciate it, man. And tell your co-host we said what's up, and we'll see him on OTPPN.
Well, absolutely, man. We've really enjoyed it, and we'll definitely see you down the road, guys.
Yeah, man. Best of luck to you, man.
Thank you. Same to you guys. Beat those Buccaneers, man.
Hell yeah.
Fuck a bug.
We gonna try. We gonna try.
I'm gonna say what y'all been holding in. I say it for you.
All right, bud.
No promises.
Good night, guys.
See ya.
All right, later.
All right. So, 53 man roster, gentlemen. Ooh boy, I'm ready for some football, man. Will, what do you think about our roster going forward, man? Do we got what it takes?
Well, I think we should first tell everybody. I mean, the 53 initial, we call it initial roster instead of the initial final roster. 53. It's going to change every week. We're going to probably sign some undrafted guys. Guys will get cut tomorrow. There's going to be activity going on all the way up until the first game starts. As far as the roster itself, I'm happy we kept two quarterbacks. I don't think both Will Greer and PJ Walker have long-term starting potential like that. Mm-hmm. So it had to be one or the other. I went with Will Greer because of what I saw in preseason, but I guess PJ Walker must have had the better practices in camp, or that Temple connection just might have gotten that job. So we went with the guy. I'm okay with that selection. Running back, I like the running back room. Bonifon was cut, but you got kind of the same skill set between C-Mac, Hubert, and Cannon. I think Truba just does a little bit more as an every down back than Bonifon. And durability has always been an issue with him. You know, the best ability is availability. And I think with him, he's been effective on the few reps he has gotten, but he just couldn't stay on the field. The wide receiver room, I predicted that. That was the easiest one for me to predict. I know a lot of people are high on Omar Bayless, and rightfully so. He made some plays in camp, but you just got to remember with that six wide receiver, he's not going to be a pass catcher. You know, how many targets is he going to get with all these other weapons around him? It's more going to be a special team guy. You look at Brandon Zilstra, played almost half our special team snap last year, whether running down on kickoff, blocking on kick returns. I don't know if he's on punt team or not, but a guy that valuable on special teams, you just want to have on your roster. So I think Zilstra just keeps finding a way to make the roster with his special teams contributions. Tight end room, I mean, we're keeping four tight ends. I guess we reclassify or remove Giovanni Ricci to a fullback. So I don't know. Maybe Miles Armour might be a guy we pick up on the waiver wire tomorrow. We'll see how that plays out. I think we got a lot of different skill sets in the tight end room, whether you want a blocking guy like Trimble, Dan Arnold, who's more of a receiving threat, not a guy you want to keep close to the line of scrimmage with blocking, and Ian Thomas, who's just kind of average at both, kind of do everything type tight end. I'll let Kev touch on the trenches. On the defensive side, we lack corner depth because A.J. Bouye is going to be suspended for the first two games. We only got four. J.C. Horn, Dante Jackson, Stanley Thomas, Oliver, and Taylor. So, I mean, it's critical that those guys stay healthy because one injury in that room could spell trouble for that unit. I like the safety room. Not a lot of big names, but a lot of young talent. I mean, you got Jeremy Chin and Justin Burris starting, but I think Sam Franklin and Miles Hartsfield will both see plenty of reps. Sean Chandler may sneak in there, maybe if he's not a special teams contributor. We'll see what happens with Kenny Robinson. I just think there was just so much competition in that room. He just can't keep everybody. Will he get out of waivers and possibly make it to the practice squad? We bring him back there. Who knows, right? So we'll see how that plays out. And then at linebacker, I like the depth. I think we have good depth there. I mean, Shaq and Carter, I think a solid interior backer. We got Reddick, who's more of the pass rushing type. And Frankie Louvu, you know, he can rotate with Reddick. You know, both give us that additional rush off the edge. And then two lesser-known guys, I mean, Clay Johnston. I think he's a coach's son. Kev can correct me if I'm wrong. But he made the team as the backup inside Mike backer. And I first heard of him when I think Carter went out of practice. Somebody went out of practice. And Clay Johnston was getting reps with the first team. He's the guy that's going to fly around the ball, hit somebody. And probably will be a lot of big-time special teams contributor as well. So overall, I think with my prediction, I missed a few. The biggest surprise to me was probably Will Greer getting cut, Kenny Robinson getting cut, and then Christian Miller. We released him and signed Daryl Johnson from Buffalo. That's sort of a similar skill set, but overall, not many surprises on the 53.
Word. Jadarius. Your thoughts on the roster, sir?
I'm at a loss for word.
Oh, literally. He just went flip.
Getting his Wi-Fi from Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah. I'm at a loss for words. Click. I'm sorry, man. That's not funny, but it's funny.
That was literally lost.
The timing on that was impeccable. Hey, Kev, go ahead and tell us your thoughts on the trenches, bro. Because Lord of mercy, I got concerns.
Well, your concerns are definitely legit. I was thinking we was going to keep 10 offensive linemen, but we ended up keeping 9. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, we just got to get ready for it. As of now, the starting five is a starting five. Cam Irvin, left tackle. Pat motherfucking Eflin at left guard. Matt Paradis. John Miller. Taylor Moten. That's your starting five. Backups, Trent Scott. He could play, you know, both left and right tackle. Dennis Daly, he could play both guards and both tackle spots, so that's that position flexibility. You know, Deontay Brown, you know, he can play either guard or never seen any reps at tackle, so he can play left or right guard. And then, of course, you got Brady Christensen, who's played right tackle, right guard, and left guard during training camp. And then he got some left tackle reps. So with your backups, you definitely got lots of flexibility. Pat Eflin will be the backup center. So something ever did happen to Paradis, Eflin would slide over. And then, you know, one of these guys, you know, either Dennis Daly or Deontay Brown, or even Brady Christensen would slide in at that guard to fill in for him. I'm going to be honest with you. I know a lot of fans, you know, and rightfully so, there was some offensive line concerns in the first half with, you know, guys like Paradis, Irvin, Eflin. For the most part, even Taylor Moten had a rare offside penalty, a false start penalty. You know, John Miller, the last game was pretty much, you know, the most consistent player. Again, because it is preseason, if you're going to mess up, if you're going to get your errors, let's get it now. And to be honest, this was our offensive line as a unit, their first significant action in like, what, 8 months? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anything, the things that they got exposed to, I'm glad they did in the preseason because we got 2 weeks to get it right. You know, 2 weeks to study, you know, line stunts and blitzes and things of that nature. But as far as this offensive line, I'm hoping that there's going to be something coming out on the waiver wire, you know, with the other releases to possibly look to add. I still feel like that even though, you know, Coach Rule has said this is his starting five that he settled on in, I know people are like, hey, you can't believe nothing rules say, and you can make arguments on why people say that way, but I got this feeling that he truly does believe in this offensive line. I'm going to be honest with you. The one that concerns me the most, honestly, is not even Cam Irvin no more. Like, he's actually I've seen some improvement, you know, with him enough to make me think that he might be all right. Still not a long-term solution, but you know, be all right. But that Pat Eflin, man, good God, like,
that scares me.
Just watching him, man, just really just baffled me. Like, I maybe saw maybe two or three plays where he actually took it to someone. Now, I will give him one little credit. When he does hit and go right, he does put a hat in a hat, and he does get people down to the ground. So that was maybe like the only spotlight, but that's not rare. The most time I'm seeing him getting lost on easy stuff, swim moves, you know, like it ain't even nothing complicated. And he's on skates, man. It's just really, I'm as a fan, I'm just mystified as to what the coaching staff, particularly Matt Rhule and his offensive line coach, see with, you know, Pat Elflin to feel to see what's on film to say, we good at this at left guard. Now, is that a contradiction of saying the players behind are not ready? Because I would think that if, you know, Deontay Brown or Dennis Daly or even Brady Christian was ready, that they, you know, they could step up to it. But, you know, we'll see. Like I said, this is still a open roster. It's still fluid. But overall, you know, this is what we got to go to war with. You know, I'm not going to be all super optimistic like I'm normally am about it. You know, I have to take it for what it is. I do see potential with this line, but like I said, it's just a play at a time. I can't get but so optimistic, you know, when I look at it. Sure. Far as off the line. Now, if I want to flip it to the other side, the defensive line. Now this is where you go to Nordstrom's. You know, this, you know, wow. this right here, you know, like, you know, kept 10 defensive linemen, which what I was hoping for, you know, me personally. So, let's start with the ringleader, Brian Burns, you know, could play DN in a 4-3 or 3-4 outside linebacker. You know, Daquan Jones could play either D tackle spot, whether in a 30 front or a 40 front. He's versatile like that. Derrick Brown, you can place him at nose, 3 technique or 5 technique, 30 front, or you can place him at a 3 technique and a 30, I mean a 40. I mean, just flexibility. Morgan Fox can play tackle or in. Mm-hmm. You know, one of our favorites who some of us were kind of thinking might not, you know, possibly, you know, might not make it, which I'm kind of glad he did because he clearly outperformed was Marquise Haynes.
Yeah,
man. He even gets reps inside. You know, even for his smallest frame, I think he's up to about like maybe 240 now, 245. You know, he only came in about 230 pounds out of Ole Miss. You know, he's now in his fourth season, so I think he's been packed on, you know, no way. But he, you know, when we go those, you know, defensive line NASCAR packages, as they like to call it, he gets some reps on the inside with his because of his quickness. You know, one of our favorites, you know, Yetur Gross-Matos. You know, I thought he had a really good preseason. I think he was really ready to, you know, solidify and validate, you know, his draft position. When I think of him, I think that when we do go in a 40 front, he's going to be that 4-3 DN on the opposite of Brian Burns. I think he's just got the build and the technique. Ford, I mean, Hassan Reddick, I mean, I just think he's just too light in the ass to hunker down consistently. You know, this new guy, you know, I haven't watched film on it yet, but from what I'm hearing, particularly from Bills fans, look like we got a steal with this Darryl Johnson guy. You know, there's been a lot of – it was a lot of them sad to see him go. They felt like the Bills should have asked for more. Apparently 10 teams had reached out about him before the cut. So I think that's what caused us to, you know, offer a 6-round draft pick for him. You know, and then we got Bravion Roy, who would be the, if there's a concern point on the defense line that it would start with him, not because he's not capable, but he's struggling with consistency because when you're 6'1", 330, you know, you're short, you know, already down. And so you should have no problem getting leverage on these offensive linemen, 6'4", 6'5", and 6'6". But for whatever season, when he stands up, I mean, you know, it's like you're in a roller derby. I mean, he's, you know, when his pads stay low, he does work. But when the pads get up, hey, it's an ugly sight. I'm just going to be honest. And then we're going to round it out with the two rookies who just pretty much, you know, consistently showed, you know, that they can play is Davion Nixon, you know, the 5th-round pick out of Iowa, and Phil Hoskins, the 7th-round pick that many of us didn't even know might would even make it. But he definitely flashed enough this preseason to make it know that he's a that he's going to be a name, going to be a part of that rotation. So, yeah, the this defensive line is definitely something to enjoy. I wonder how many is going to be at the game day. I would think possibly, you know, 8 out of this group, you know, so they can rotate and keep them fresh. But again, with all this position flexibility, depends on other needs. You might can get away with 7, just depend on, you know, the opponent and, you know, things of that nature. But overall, I love the defensive line, you know, players that made it. I really can't see any additions unless there's a surprise cut somewhere that would significantly upgrade over what we have. So I think this defensive line rotation is set for the season.
Word. Jadarius, speak to us, man.
Can y'all hear me now?
Stick around this time, bro.
Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, you good.
I'm good. Okay.
Tell AOL we're going to write them a check in the morning, bro.
Man, they going to be hearing from my lawyer. I'm saying. Before I get into anything else, I got to shout out my fellow Aggie that we just traded for. That's Daryl Johnson. I seen people in the comments asking about him. I see Elvin Friend over here asking about him. So I'm going to put you on. I've watched this guy, obviously, up close. I went to A&T same time. So people say he is a defensive end. He is not just a defensive end. He played a little bit of linebacker. You got some man coverage and zone coverage reps on film. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at this guy, I think he resembles mostly a Mario Addison, even Marquise Hain kind of player, to where he's a tweener. He's athletic enough to play linebacker, but he also is a pass rusher. So I think they opted for his versatility in that regard to kind of fit the mold of linebacker, defensive end hybrid. And I think that's why they went ahead and traded for him. I think Luke gave us a little bit of insider training. He was like, hey, what you think about dude? He was like, yeah, he fast, he physical, yeah, he fits in. And then we were like, okay, then take this little 6-round pick or whatever. But outside of that, I think the main thing that shocked me about our 53 is that we're carrying so many tight ends. And I don't understand why we have so many tight ends. We're just going to get to the red zone and run 11 personnel and get blown up in the middle, in the interior.
See it coming.
Bruh, tell me how a tight end is supposed to help you block and your interior line is the one that's folding. It does no good. And I don't even want to talk too much about a certain player. But like you carry it, so one of these guys is dead weight. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, he don't do nothing better than any of the other guys on this roster right now at his skill position. He's just average. So what he here for? You got young guys like Trimble. Even if you like Giovanni Ricci, that's cool. Let him play. Give them reps. You got a guy, just take, bruh. And it don't help the other guy either, because he's not going to get the targets he needs. He's a talented guy. Let him go somewhere else. Let him get on the waiver wire and go to a team that needs a true inline tight end.
I think somebody figured you out, bro.
Look, I'm not going to name drop.
We're not going to name names, man.
I'm not going to name drop. I think one of the other things, he said he needs Daryl Johnson's height and weight. He's 6'6", yeah. About 250.
Well, he's 6'6".
So, yeah, 6'6", about 250. So a long, lanky, pass-rushing, linebacking kind of guy. Yeah. He's not a small dude by any stretch of the mark. But I think the other thing that stood out to me is how thin we are at corner. And then I realized they're probably playing it like all the corners on our roster are outside guys. And because all, like, our top 4 safety options all play nickel, they're going to let those guys fill in at nickel. And your corners are just the outside boundary kind of corners. So it's going to be interesting. I think, like, if we were to roll out in a dime, then one of the safeties will play nickel and then we'll have one of the extra corners playing that other inside cornerback spot. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen us this thin a nickel. This thin a corner all together. We normally would carry about five guys, six guys.
Mm-hmm. Normally. Well, let me ask you guys this. I'll start with you, Will. Do you think Fitterer is he setting this up to where we can pull from, the pool of players that are being released from other teams right now in terms of the secondary or maybe even the offensive line?
Oh yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to see maybe trades. I mean, there's always going to be willing and dealing. That's going to be happening over the next couple of weeks. That's why I said in the beginning, you know, it's fun to predict the initial 53-man roster, but this is far from finalized. So don't get too excited about any one player. Don't go out buy anybody's jersey yet. You know, it's not. And I just hold off until week one before we get that far.
Right. Yeah, so hold on to your hats, folks. Shit, let's what's up, Kev?
I just did some quick research here just to put some numbers, on Daryl Johnson, right? The guy we picked up?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so only 2 years worth, you know, as a reserve, but this is what you're getting. Currently, he 29 tackles, 21 of them solo, 5 tackles for losses, 5 quarterback hits, 10 quarterback hurries. Surprisingly, 18% pass rush win weight and a 19% run stop win rate. Now, for those that are looking like 18-19%, like just to let you know, that's actually pretty decent for a reserve player. As far as, you know, the numbers, because for example, Brian Burns' run stop win rate is like 24%, and like, let's see, I think the top one in the league is maybe like 28-29. So really, you know, for limited reps, this is not bad. From what I gather from the numbers is, you know, this guy, you know, he can make plays against a run in the pass. And, you know, when you look at, you know, especially when you're talking about 5 QB hits and 10 quarterback hurries, you know, that means he getting after somebody. You know, now if you take an initial look at the stats, oh, he only got 2 sacks. That's why you got to dig deeper than that. You know, that's why you're the 4-man rush. We look at, you know, advanced metrics and statistics. You know, you gotta peel the layers back a little bit. You know, you just can't see, oh, that's an orange. What kind of orange is it? You know, what you mean? What kind? It's levels to this. So this is just a player, like I said, 6'6", 250, 255. You know, with that size, you know, I like to think that he can set the edge, you know, and look like he does have the ability to, you know, to stat blocks a little bit, to, you know, free himself up. I mean, again, he's got to get acclimated with our system. And like I said, you know, y'all was talking about Luke Kuechly gave you inside information. I'm going to tell you who probably dropped the real scoop, who's up in Buffalo a lot longer than Luke Kuechly, and that's Dan Morgan.
Dan Morgan, yep.
Dan Morgan, you know, been in Buffalo for the last couple of years as well while he's been up there. So if anybody would have had a more complete story on, and, you know, could have possibly been an advocator, you know, to pull off this move, I think I would place it more on Dan Morgan more so than Luke Kuechly. So, you know, so yeah, just a little bit of quick research I just did on Mr. Daryl Johnson.
You know, I got to keep on talking my Aggie up. Elvin, he ran through the MEAC, bro. I'm telling you, like, he was like a top rusher in the MEAC, 10.5 sacks. I think he's the last season at A&T. So, yeah, you're going to enjoy that film if you find some of it. If you find some of it, let us know, because I want to go see it too.
Yeah, Elvin, go research his game, bro. I mean, just off his specs alone, man. I mean, he's going to be a problem if he's in a pass rushing situation. He got those long arms getting to the passing lanes, things of that nature, man. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Yeah, no, I didn't realize that we were that short in the defensive back category. But hell, I guess we are kind of thin. That's interesting.
And, And I just looked up his combine, you know, because I know some of y'all like, you know, like, you know, going off those numbers here. Let's see, his combine in 2019, 253 pounds, arm length 34 inches, hand size 10 inches. He's got about an 80 inch wingspan. That's long.
Damn.
Yeah. Far as bench press, 20 reps of 225.
That's real good for long arms, bro.
Right, exactly. And so looked like he did better at his pro day than when the combine. His pro day, he ran a 4.82. His 20-yard split was 2.78. 10-yard split, 1.65. 32.5-inch vertical. Broad jump, 112. That's telling me explosive.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that's telling me right there.
His giddy up is nice.
Yeah. And his three-cone time was 6.97. That's showing some bend and some agility right there. So, again, you know, we're not going to make any great declarations or anything because, you know, it's got to pan out. You know, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to have flashbacks of the days of Ryan Dallaire, you know, getting all excited off initial and then, you know, fills it out. You know, we ain't going to set ourselves up like that. But, but yeah, but definitely, you know, just some numbers to throw out there, you know, about this guy to – see what's going on. You know, and I got a minute here, Tim. A couple of fans had asked me a couple of questions here. I was just want to say that, you know, as far as the offensive line, Bill, no, I think we're still not done. I think we still, you know, it's potentially add pieces like Will said here. So, yeah, man, I mean, this is the way Fitter, like, I think they said something about this year alone, Fitter has done 11 trades. That's more than the Panthers did in the last four seasons.
Yep.
So, you know, Willen and Dylan is his name, is what he like to do.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Now, that Paradis comment, it reminded me, I watched the game again today, and just the first half. It seems like Paradis was getting bullied, obviously. In some situations, the defender got underneath him and he just pushed him up, pushed him back, you know, behind the line of scrimmage easily. But there was one time that a stunt was performed and fucking Eflin.
You can call him whatever you want to call him, bro.
LG. We'll call
him. I call him FU. That's why I call him. You know?
FU. Yeah.
He ain't that good.
Pat FU. That's it. That's fit. That's what we call from here on out.
A stunt was ran. And FU was so lost in the sauce that he wound up getting blocked by Paradis. The stunt went across his face to his right towards the center, towards the A gap. He followed the defender so much that he was completely out of the left guard position and in front of Paradis, and Paradis was blocking him, and the old boy went right by him.
Yeah, I saw that,
bruh.
That's when I cuss. That's the exact moment where I cuss.
Oh my, FU was right, bro. FU.
And there was one play when I was when I was putting the you know, the film pieces together, you know, the last few nights, I'm watching this one play. He dropped back 5 steps before he put his hands on the defender. I'm like, what is you doing? I mean, for real.
I feel you, Michael. Here, this is Matt Khalilish.
Nah, what I said on Twitter, yeah, light-skinned Greg Little without the melon.
Oh, Lord.
I'm so dead. The thing that makes this worse is that the draft was so deep at guard, but we were so content. We were so content, and we was like, nah, we gonna find him in free agency. We good. We gonna pass. You know what? We good. We got F line. We gonna be all right.
Man,
we went out day one of free agency.
We're so used to this mediocrity, man. We're just so used to this shit. But anyway,
I'm dead.
I got to turn my back on that, man. I ain't want to be
bothered. You guys want to talk about the Jets? I mean, I would, it's not much.
Oh, the Jets.
I guess, man, we'll talk about the Jets. I mean, we know what our roster's looking like right now. You know, we kind of know what the Jets are about. You know, young quarterback, blah 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 blah. What's your expectations of the Jets game, Will?
Yeah, we got 2 weeks to prepare for them, so we'll see. I'll probably dig it in a little bit more next week. I haven't even watched a lot of Jets film other than a couple of preseason games. But what I've seen just from the few plays I watched, I mean, Zach Wilson looks like he's the real deal, which we all expected. I mean, he was probably the most arm talent out of all the quarterbacks coming out. He's off schedule. He can make every throw from anywhere. So you just got to be real disciplined on that back end. I haven't looked at their 53-man roster, to be honest. I'll probably dig more into that next week. Word matchup that'll probably worry me the most is the interior O-line, Quinnen Williams going against Elfline and Paradis and those guys. I mean, I can present problems, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll have we got a week to this week. I'll probably dig into more Jets film and have a little bit more for you guys next week.
True that. If you guys don't know about Will's film breakdown, boy, y'all missing out some shit, yo. Real talk. Kev, you want to talk a little bit about that, or? I guess I should ask you, what do you think our front will look like against this Jets? I'm not going to talk about the offensive line, the defensive line. How do you think they'll hold up against the Jets' offensive line?
Yeah, I think that's where the fun part's going to begin with them, because you know the Jets, they invested a first round pick in the offensive lineman. He played tackle and guard. What's it? Alera Vera.
Elijah. Tucker.
Yeah, Elijah Vera Tucker. That's it. Thanks, JD. But yeah, so, he came out. Matter of fact, I saw a quote from him on Twitter. He was saying that they need to come out and be real physical against the Panthers. And I saw a couple of people chuckle at that. But, him and Mekhi Becton, that's who's on that left side. Hmm. You know? And, if you was asking right now, who would I rather have on my left side, Cam Urban and Pat FU or Vera Tucker and Mekhi Becton? That's a no-brainer. That, easily, So that's definitely going to be – I think that's definitely going to be a challenge. They're looking to come out. They're going to be on the road. They're going to have that us against the world. Ain't nobody expecting nothing of us. Mm-hmm. They're coming down here loose. So, for anybody to think this is going to be a cakewalk, go ahead and reset your expectations, because I think this is going to be a game that's going to be a fight, because, when you think about it, what's our identity? When you be honest with it. Now, I can, we can make the point that we think that our defense is going to put a good stranglehold on them, to limit a lot of things. I think you can make a case for that, but here's the thing with this offensive line situation, and like I said, knowing which Sam Darnold is going to show up, are we going to be able to put points on the board to keep our defense, fresh and ahead, or is it going to be, dealing with, short drives and three and outs and this talented defense, falling victim to, attrition?
Right.
It's still going to be 90 degrees here, folks. we already had one of the hottest summers here in Charlotte. I think they said something about we done had like 58 days of at least 90 degrees. So, yes. I know tomorrow, September 1st, I don't see it changing really no time soon. So the battle in the trenches, our defense line versus their offense line is really going to be a fun one to watch. Now, I believe they lost one of their defensive linemen for the year. I think he has some sort of injury. Can't remember his name off the top of my head, because I haven't really did a deep dive look into this team yet. Probably do it for next week's show.
You guys a nice detail breakdown.
We'll make sure we put it on our homework assignment. So I think the battle in the trench is going to be very interesting, and the matchup I want to see is Brian Burns on Mekhi Becton. That's what I want to see.
Dum dum dum.
That's the one I want. So, you know, we'll go from there.
JD, you have, I know I'm seeing comments in here about Chuba and people not being too, you know, they're worried about him not having enough, I guess, durability to run between the tackles and things of that nature. What do you think about our running back situation going into this?
It's tough to say right now, and I think that's because I'm not sure what CMC's workload is going to look like. I think when we were talking about the 53, I think Will made a good point in that because at the time I've had Bonifant slated as the RB2 for a long time now, and given CMC's ability to receive, Trent Cannon looked okay at receiving to this offseason as a wide receiver, so it kind of made sense. I think running back is a little light to me. We only have three true blue running backs. They have Riki listed as a fullback, obviously. Chuba, I've seen enough from Chuba to say that he can affect all three elements of the offense. As far as passing, he's a legitimate threat in space after he receives the ball. We saw that in preseason. Running, explosive guy, even though he didn't house that one that he should have. That's gonna happen to everybody. Like, that happened to DJ his rookie year. That happened to Christian his rookie year. They were talked down from behind. So that comes with time, I think. And then also pass protection. I saw some good things from him in that regard. So I think we're at a good spot. And I think it's rare for us to see a back or a young back like this be given the opportunity to be running back two. Like, for every other running back we've drafted, it seems like they were either stuck and could not get up the depth chart, like Cameron Artis Payne, or just weren't given the reps that they needed until like well into the season, like Christian was his rookie year. So I think we're at a good spot. I think it all hinges on Christian remaining healthy and getting a or being able to split snaps with the guy behind him.
Yeah, good point. We really don't know how Joe Brady's going to approach this season. I'm hoping he wasn't given off, you know, hints during preseason for defensive coordinators to pick apart. And granted, we didn't see CMC during the preseason, so of course.
Oh my God!
You know, it's I really got to enhance what you just said about you know, understanding what CMC is going to do. Because that's going to affect not only the running game, but obviously it's going to affect Darnold too, and how he's going to be defended, I guess you could say. Because we use play action quite a bit during the preseason, and if CMC can harness that kind of attention, I think we're going to see our tight ends in the you know getting those underneath routes, and hopefully, you know, DJ getting those short pops, you know what I'm saying, and he can get some yaks out of that, things of that nature, man. But CMC is really going to he's the catalyst here, man. The offensive line obviously has to gel, or you know, we're not going to do any fucking thing.
But let me put my tinfoil hat on.
Go ahead, man.
Look, if you look at how this running back room is, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on. Joe Brady is about to force feed Christian again.
I think so.
I know so. I know so, because there is no, the experience isn't there behind Christian, well, barring waiver wire. There's only one proven option in the running back at the running back position right now. And if the season were to start right now and when there was no waiver wire and the first game was tomorrow, Christian's getting all the snaps. Joe Brady is trying to get his numbers up, bro. He want out of here. I'm telling y'all.
He wants that HC.
and Christian is his first class ticket up out of here as a head coach. I'm telling. That's my tinfoil hat, though. I'm going to back off.
You good, man. Did Jordan Scarlett get it? Did he even see the field, Will? I don't think Jordan Scarlett even saw the field this preseason.
Oh, he's on the Dolphins.
Well, there you go.
I was going to say, who? I was thinking, like, I don't know.
I heard that name in a while.
I know. What the? What the? But, yeah, man.
Man, dude, Scarlett's name ain't on the squad anymore, man.
Man, hold on to your hats, folks. You know, we got a little time to, you know, add some players, subtract some players, you know. This 53-man roster is fluid right now, so, yeah. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. Anything else you guys want to touch on, man?
You guys, I know I was a little late.
Go ahead, bro.
Did we talk about the newest free agent from New England?
Briefly. We got some blowback on that, man. Don't talk about Cam.
I mean, because with the day being Ross today and Cam, you know, I thought that would have been the dominant, because when I was heading in, I got folks, you know, like, man, y'all going to talk about Cam and the roster, right? Like, yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I mean, I already said I wouldn't mind Cam coming back on this team right now. I already said that. If they can hold down the dynamic in the locker room, I wouldn't care. Because that's going to make Sam Darnold bust his ass or he's going to lose his job. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but
we know PJ.
Pride is a thing too. Pride is a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, true.
Like, I just can't see Cam coming back here where he, you know, if nothing, that's gonna make Sam Darnold play tighter. You know, we got the franchise all time. You know, back here, and the moment he mess up, you know, Cam. You know what I'm saying? Like,
don't fuck up.
Man, it's gonna happen. It happens to every quarterback. You know, that's,
yeah, it does.
You know, I think that's one reason why they let him go instead of keeping him as a backup in New England. You know, they want that. You know, Matt Jones had that look over shoulder because, you know, Brian Hoyer and Stidham is not going to threaten you. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then for a rookie that's coming in, you want to keep his confidence high as he goes through the ebbs and flow of the season. Mm-hmm. But
That was one of his camps. He wasn't an alpha in the room to be a backup anywhere. Because, I mean, it's clearly probably, what, at least 5-10 starters in the league right now. He's still probably better than at this stage in his career.
True.
It's just a matter of, you know, what role is he willing to accept at this point. I mean, I don't think he's going to start unless a player gets hurt, you know, this late into the offseason. Right. So, I mean, it's just a matter of, I mean, it's that Allen Iverson, Carmelo Anthony effect. You know, you're too good at one point in your career. You were an MVP. Can you take a role of a backup? Are you willing to? You know you're still better than most starters, but that's just how it works sometimes. So, mm-hmm. We'll see just how his career progresses. I don't really know what's next for him.
Me personally, I had said earlier, you put Cam Newton on the Indianapolis Colts, you're going to have some problems because, look here, Carson Wentz ain't strong. I know they say he's supposed to be coming back and this, that, and the third, but Cam will snap Carson Wentz chain in a minute. You know, the Colts have what we was hoping for. Now that everybody's back healthy, because I saw that their all pro, all world guard, Quentin Nelson, finally came off the COVID list or whatever. So, you know, you put a Cam Newton on that Colts team, and you're going to have some problems, because I don't think nobody's losing sleep when they game planning for a Carson Wentz. You know, I just can't see it. You know, when you said play, when you look around the league, I mean, when you think about the divisions, I mean, just looking at the AFC, that one, I wouldn't send him to Houston on my worst day. That's just too much of a toxic situation with all that's got going on. You know, even though I know him and Deshaun Watson, but that's, you know, Deshaun about to, you know, get up out of there. You know, we'll stay tuned for that one. Based on what was mentioned earlier today. But yeah, like you said, when you look around the league, I mean, most teams pretty much got their starter set. I mean, I know, quote, Andy Dalton is starting in Chicago, but come on. I mean, really? Like,
that's a big mistake. Like, you gotta let that kid play, man.
You gotta let
him play.
Right. And to be honest with you, real talk, I mean, if it wasn't for his contract, Cam could take, what's the name, quarterback in the Vikings.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Bruh.
Cam Newton. Dalvin Cook.
Come on, bruh.
Jefferson. Oh, man. Ew. Look here. Yeah, that's some. Yeah, that's some. That's definitely some. You know, that's definitely, like you said, there's definitely, you know, some spots he could go where he would be immediately better in. You know what I'm saying? Hell, Denver.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, you know, Matt here said, "Oh, the Washington football team," and that's what I would suspect. If he wasn't so haphazard with his COVID vaccination, because you know, Ron is not necessarily a healthy individual like that, so he can't be fucking around like that, Cam. But
hey, Ron came out and was disappointed. A lot of players on his team called him selfish for not getting that shot. So I mean, I don't see that as a fit. Unless he's willing to change his status. I mean, that's another thing. If you're not vaccinated, I mean, anyone going to want to bring him in? Because, I mean, if he was 2015, nobody would care. You know, because Lamar Jackson didn't do it, but he's an elite MVP right now. He can do that. Much as I like Cam, he's not on that level anymore. He's, you know, a mid-tier 20-30-ranked quarterback at this point in his career. So is anybody going to put up with that risk for a player of that caliber at this point in his career? You know, and probably not. So, I mean, maybe if he gets a shot, I mean, I don't want to turn this into a vaccination show, but it does give players a competitive advantage. You can't deny that.
Exactly. If you can't play, you're not going to have anything to bring to the team, man. So, yeah, just a liability at that point. Not to mention you have the potential to get other people sick and just have this whole. Ask the Titans. Ask the Titans. People say we're talking crazy. I mean, it's you know, it's football. We're talking about football. And Cam Newton still to this day is, by the numbers, the best quarterback the franchise has ever had. So, I mean, we're just talking about Cam. Yeah, and Tom Brady's 40 what?
44.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, this is pretty much it, man. We talked about the roster. Now we can't, but we're not going to dive too deep into the old Jets game just yet. I'm sure there will be some moves that will happen between now and then, all of the good stuff, man. So, you know, Panther fans, check out our website, be looking for our blogs and our Twitter feeds, things of that nature, man, and you know, we'll keep you informed and all that good shit. And that's how we roll. So, any parting shots, gentlemen?
We got a break in action this week because I guess with the 3 preseason games now, the players get 2 weeks off before the season starts. But college football coming up this weekend, so you know, that's another thing we do on our website is write scouting reports on college prospects. So be on the lookout for a coverage of next year's draft class. So just like the Panthers front office, you know, starts this week.
That's right. Great point, man. Great point. You guys know this stuff, man. If you haven't read their blog write-ups, man, you guys are missing out. Good Lord of mercy. I don't even look at ESPN anymore. I don't even read that shit.
Yeah, and definitely check out, you know, I'll be after the night, I'll be jumping back on and watching some more. You know, this week I've been, since Sunday, I've been dropping, film breakdowns of offensive linemen. So now that I know who's here, offense and defensive linemen, I kind of just going back and forth. So I did Deontay Brown last night. So I think I'll jump on over. Y'all have to check it out, you know, I posted on Twitter first and then I posted in all the groups. But yeah, now that we got an idea of who's going to be here. So just, you know, be on the lookout for our front four film review breakdowns by yours truly. And, you got some insight on what's going on in them trenches. So you know what to expect.
I just wanted to say shout out to my guy Miles Hartsfield, man. He was the 4th string safety, jumped all the way up 2nd string. He probably gonna be the starting nickel too. So it's up.
Ain't that something? And y'all called it.
That's our new corn elder, right?
Hey,
I'm trying to put y'all on, bro. I'll be finding them corn elders if I can't do nothing else. I'm a miss on Kevon Seymour's, but I'm gonna find me a Colin Elder.
Oh, so I feel that Sam Franklin was interesting. They went to the same, what was it, prep school? And then after they graduated prep school, Franklin went to Temple and Hartsfield went to Ole Miss.
Ain't that some
shit? Now they both made the roster here together.
Small world, man. Small world. Hey, Kev, Bill giving you props on your film breakdown, man. Yeah, and Michael too, bro. Yeah, man. This all signs of things to come, folks. Signs of things to come. Indeed, indeed.
Kev, do a film breakdown of FU, man. Come on, bro.
Sedative after watching that clown block.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He'll make you say FU. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I might get him. I might get him tomorrow. Like some, I'm gonna do a defensive lineman tonight. Like I say, go back and forth between the O line and D line. You know, with 10 offensive linemen, 9 offensive linemen so far, that'll be enough to do enough to get us through to the season start. So,
no doubt.
I'll do him tomorrow night. I'll go ahead and take me a laxative and you know clear myself out. You know, for the bullshit I'm about to watch and. You know, So yeah, it'll be a Pat FU special, you know, coming out tomorrow night. So, like I say, catch me on Twitter first with it, and then I'll drop it in all the Panther groups.
Live and direct. There you go. You ask, you shall receive, fans. There you go.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Well, all right, Panther fans, you guys enjoy your Tuesday evening, man. Thank you so much for dropping by and hanging out with us on this podcast live recording that we do every Tuesday evening, especially during the season. And be on the lookout. www.theformanrush.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You know, check us out, man. And we'll see. We'll see you around, man. It's great communicating with you guys, as always. Real talk. So, on behalf of the Four Man Rush and, you know, Manscaped, thanks again. And as always, keep pounding. Y'all be good out there. And be sure you check out them videos, man. Yeah, it's good. Especially that FU. That's going to be funny.
Bias, fuck you.
How the fuck are you? All right, y'all. Y'all be good, man.
She love it. We out in public and we can just chill with my partners and we can go back to my crib and just chill on the covers. And do we come me and you love us?
The Four Man Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The Four Man Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the Four Man Rush exclusively. Thank you.